Hello, and welcome to the Salisbury Pediatric Associate Health and Wellness Newsletter AudioCast. I am your host, Dr. M, and this is Volume 14, Issue Number 10, which corresponds to the week of February 19, 2024. This week, we're going to talk about ApoE4, or apolipoprotein E4, and its history. Why do we have it? What does it do for us? We're going to talk about the continuous glucose monitor experiment number 2, and also recipe of the week. All right, let's dive in. So, ApoE4, otherwise known as apolipoprotein E, was discovered in 1973. It is derived from the polymorphic gene called ApoE that encodes for a signaling protein on a class of fatty proteins that primarily carry cholesterol and other molecules around the body called lipoproteins. We find ApoE primarily on very low-dense lipoproteins, otherwise known as VLDL, and also on high-density lipoproteins known as HDL. Apolipoprotein E primarily helps to shuttle cholesterol from the periphery of the body back to the liver for recirculation or clearance. ApoE proteins are also involved in neuronal signaling, neuroinflammation, and glucose metabolism, making them especially critical for brain activity. This is becoming a critical part of the story for understanding dementia and neurodegeneration in humans. ApoE is most famous for an isoform called ApoE4-4, being highly associated with Alzheimer's, dementia, and modernity. Unfortunately, as we do with many other things in medicine, we have been focused on this genetic protein variant as a net negative in humans because we look at things as black and white, either all good or all bad. It's a binary choice, but it's pretty rubbish. As everyone knows, I don't generally believe in such things. There is no reason that a genetic selection would have occurred a long time ago that would make this lipoprotein so prevalent and it wouldn't serve a purpose in mammals or humans. But what is that purpose? The science is finally coming into light in the last decade, and we need to understand in order to make lifestyle decisions that can lead to longevity and a better health span that we want to have. The full ApoE protein has 3 isoforms that can be combined to make 5 combinations: ApoE22, 23, 33, 34, and 44. There is a reason for this isoform variance that we are now starting to understand. And it turns out that this quote-unquote negative ApoE4 isoform is credibly valuable if you live in a region where high infectious disease burdens occur, like Equatorial Brazil, Bolivia, Congo, and the like. When the researchers began to look at these isoforms across the globe, they noted a peculiar grouping of isoform 4 around the equator and no variants of isoform 2 there. A deeper dive that we'll explore today is the fact that the 4th isoform is highly protective against infectious disease burdens. We also learned that the ApoE protein modifies the intestinal microbiome, modulates immune activity, and protects the body from low-level endotoxemia caused by gram-negative bacterial cell wall translocation from the likes of E. coli into the bloodstream via the gut. This translocation is very immune-stimulating and pro-inflammation, and believed to be at the center of the dementia story. Let us look at the binary that is useful. What are the pros and cons of ApoE4 carrier isoform or the true ApoE4-4 homozygous form? The pros. If you have the 4 variant, you have increased fertility and size of your offspring. Your improved cognitive ability while under significant infectious disease burden, otherwise known as survival advantage when infections were very high. You have improved innate immune function against enteric pathogens and reduced systemic inflammation. You have an increased ability to shift cholesterol away from pathogens and towards the brain. You have enhanced intestinal barrier and microbiome function and makeup. Ah, those are all very good, especially 1,000 years ago. Now, what about the cons? Well, the cons are an increased risk of neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's as we age, increased COVID-19 disease burden that we noticed recently, increased cardiovascular disease risk in general, increased metabolic syndrome, increased chronic inflammatory responses. And these are all knowns that are completely associated with modern society, modern lifestyle, and our advancing age of ability to live to 70, 80, 90 now. That didn't exist back 1,000 years ago. So these knowns are completely expected and wanted when contextualized to our ancestral history. What was a net benefit is now a net negative due to a mismatch of what is happening to us from an environmental perspective, and especially from an infectious burden perspective. For millions of years, a primary directive for humans was survival against pathogens, predators, and trying to find nourishment for survival and procreation. It is only within the last 100 years or so that this reality has flipped on its head. Quote, in populations with frequent exposure to diverse pathogens and who eat energy-restricted diets, high lipid levels would be important to boost innate responses against these pathogens. Such benefits would disappear in post-industrialized populations most exposed to high-calorie Western diets, and without the energy delivery needed to fight heavy burdens of recurrent pathogens, thus causing chronic systemic inflammation, lifelong predisposition to aging-related chronic diseases. End quote. Freitas et al., 2021, and that's coming to us from the journal Nutrition Reviews. So ApoE has the ability to modulate immune activity as well as increase cholesterol usage to make new synapses, which will be discussed later. It specifically has the ability to take degraded bacterial cell wall debris back to bacterial cell wall debris called a LPS or lipopolysaccharide out of the bloodstream and back to the liver for clearance. This is super important in an infectious world. This protein's function can be the difference between death or life when one bacterial infection is causing sepsis or a blood infection. Multiple translational animal studies have shown that ApoE knockout mice are much more susceptible to infections than ApoE-containing mice. We know that an ApoE4 carrier has an increased survival rate when infected with serious bacterium that can kill it. Thus, it leaves us thinking that the genetic advantage of this variant has continued to exist as procreation has occurred before the gene causes damage at the advanced age that they are doing so. The genetic advantage outweighs the long-term consequence. At a species level, to be able to procreate effectively, live into your 50s and 60s is perfectly fine. Not so much for us individually that are aging, however. If we look at this ApoE gene from another perspective, there is growing evidence that intestinal dysbiosis or unbalanced bacteria that reside within our intestines are causing increased pathogen gram-negative rod bacterial translocation from the intestine into the systemic circulation, bloodstream that is, and eventually making their way to the brain. These bacteria and bacterial cell wall debris are intensely immune stimulating if they cross the blood-brain barrier into the brain tissue. This is a major area of study as innate immune stimulation, if occurring in the brain, can be very dysfunctional. Let us look in the brain where things get super interesting. ApoE is the major cholesterol transporter in the brain, leading to beneficial functions in the brain. Cholesterol is critical for synapse formation, migration, myelin insulation, and maturation, as well as the regulation of signal transduction through its function as a component of the cell membrane. 20% of the cholesterol in the body is in the brain. Thus, ApoE is a major player in movement of this major player, cholesterol. Let's look a little deeper at cholesterol first. Biologically, cholesterol is a very expensive molecule to make as it costs about 36 moles of ATP to generate. Therefore, it would not make sense to waste it when it is not needed in the area. Back in the day when food was hard to get, it would not be worthy of the body to waste energy in producing ATP in order to produce more cholesterol. So the body would want to recirculate it to other body sites that are in need, especially when energy levels are low or during fasting and famine. Cholesterol is a molecule that is a critical piece of the following vital cellular structures: steroid hormones, all cell membranes throughout the body, bile acids, and the hormone vitamin D, as well as the brain actions as stated. Cholesterol is necessary and essential for human survival. We can obtain cholesterol through our diet as a poorly absorbed cholesterol ester when we consume animal products. Cholesterol is also naturally produced in all mammalian cells throughout the body, but primarily in the liver in response to low cholesterol levels in the bloodstream. However, this process to make cholesterol requires energy as ATP and the fed state. Thus, the primary source of all cholesterol in the body is not dietary cholesterol, as it makes up only about 25% of the cholesterol volume. Plants do not have cholesterol, therefore consuming them has no effect on levels. They have a special plant type of sterol called a phytosterol, which humans do not use. Cholesterol cannot move freely around the body in the blood, therefore it has to be transported around the body by lipoproteins like LDL, or low-density lipoprotein. I like to think of these fat proteins as cars carrying cholesterol. These cars are going to be critical to understanding heart and neurodegenerative disease as they travel around our circulation highways with the intent of delivering the cholesterol package to the needed cell membrane, hormone, or bile acid. The lipoprotein cars are combinations of fat and protein that aggregate together to carry triglycerides and cholesterol. These lipoproteins have the major job of transporting energy as fats called triglycerides around the body to tissues. The cholesterol carrying issue is a secondary event. There are many different types of these cars, and they have very different names based on the volume of triglycerides or fat that are carried on board. The large lipoproteins are called chylomicrons or buses, and they lose triglycerides at different cells. They shrink and concentrate more of the cholesterol and become low-density lipoproteins or cars. The LDL protein cars are then called bad or lipoprotein or bad cholesterol, which again doesn't make any sense. I find that hard to believe that anything in the body is inherently bad or good. In no way does it make evolutionary sense for God to put a bad thing in your body. However, the volume of any lipoprotein particle could convert it into an unbalanced state, which makes it unhealthy. That I believe, and I think that's the truth. These lipoproteins have signaling molecules attached to them. Apolipoprotein A is found on the high-density lipoproteins. Apolipoprotein B is found on the low and intermediately dense lipoproteins. Apolipoprotein E can be found on both types of lipoproteins. These signaling molecules are how the function and movement of the lipoproteins take shape. The pro-inflammatory isoforms like ApoE4, ApoA, and ApoC3 are otherwise all protective and infectious burden environment, but pro-dementia and pro-heart disease in a Western food-based low infectious burden environment, this is the main fascinating twist on the cardiovascular story. There are no mistakes here, people. Part of this reason rests with the intestinal gut bacterial changes that are occurring in the modern environment of highly processed foods laden with flour and sugar and trans fats and saturated fats that feed that gram-negative rod and bacteria growing their volume and number, triggering the lipoprotein system to activate and clear the translocated lipopolysaccharides into the bloodstream. There is also evidence that mental stress, toxin exposure, antibiotic use, and other common events are similarly disrupting the biodiversity of the microbiome of the gut, causing intestinal permeability. This chronic leaky gut may facilitate gut-to-blood increased pathogenic bacterial translocation and then systemic inflammation. LPS, or lipopolysaccharide, may induce innate immune neuroneutrophil monocyte activation and the subsequent release of myeloperoxidase, a bactericidal enzyme. This enzyme and other chemicals released may injure brain capillary endothelial cells, leading to blood-brain barrier disruption, with an end result of being a pathway toward inflammation and neurodegeneration. Again, if these lipoprotein cells are pathologically active in the heart vessel, we develop coronary vascular disease. If these lipoprotein cells are pathologically active in the brain, they can trigger neurodegeneration. Let us recap. We now know that these metaphorical cars can bind to and eliminate viruses, bacterial cell wall debris, and parasites throughout the body as a first line of defense, innate immunity. The gut microbiome harbors trillions of good and bad bacteria and their respective cell wall components like lipopolysaccharides, as stated. We know from the amazing work of Patrice Conti and Alessio Fasano that the bacterial cell wall debris from a dysfunctional intestinal microbiome can translocate into the bloodstream and circulate around the body, causing inflammation. These are called low-level endotoxemia events. The lipoprotein cars have binding sites, or trunks, to grab LPS and other pathogenic bacterial endotoxins and transport them back to the liver for excretion and bile, and therefore your stool. This is a very advantageous mechanism for survival if you are highly infectious burden environment is where you live, like a country that is in the developing state. Let us look at this infection-fighting reality in study. Let us say that we have two sets of rats and infect them both with a deadly dose of bacteria called E. coli, a gram-negative rod, while simultaneously giving one group an infusion of these protective lipoproteins. In the end, you will have most of the lipoprotein-infused group relaxed and alive while the other group has died from infection. It turns out that the HDL cholesterol gets used up trying to clear the acute inflammation and infection. As the HDL levels drop, LDL cholesterol and triglyceride levels rise as the next line of defense. As the infection clears, we would expect the HDL and LDL levels to flop back to normal. This appears to happen and is an amazing reality. Now that we've done that little brief review on lipoproteins in general, let's go back to the signaling molecule apolipoprotein E4 and the brain story. If ApoE is important in cholesterol efflux and the production of synapses, then it would follow that defects in ApoE activity could worsen synapse formation and neurological function over time. Specifically, ApoE is made by astrocytes, which receptors for ApoE are noted on the neuronal surface. It is a process by which ApoE molecules will increase the transport and usage of cholesterol in the brain. It is also known that a blockade of ApoE receptor decreases cholesterol drop-off and synaptogenesis, making it a question mark in the benefit of ApoE isoforms for brain function. It appears that the ApoE2 isoform has the most activity here, whereas ApoE4 has the least. ApoE2 and ApoE3 preferentially interact with high-density lipoproteins, whereas ApoE4 preferentially interacts with triglyceride-enriched lipoproteins, like very low-density lipoproteins. Another distinction is that ApoE2 has the lowest binding affinity for low-density lipoproteins, while ApoE4 has the highest in the periphery, but not in the brain. The ApoE2-3 isoforms are carrying cholesterol efficiently back to the liver for recycling. So let's pause here and reprocess this information again. ApoE is involved in cholesterol movement and the production of synapses in the brain. And depending on which isoform you have, you may have a better function of this or a lesser function of this. And it turns out that the better function is with the ApoE2 variant. Super fascinating. Along these lines of this recycling, the ApoE4 isoform is less efficiently recycled by the LDL receptors in the liver, leading to enhanced innate immunity, but also the metabolic drawback. Reduced recycling of ApoE4 affects its cellular energy source preferences. ApoE complexes with the insulin receptor, and reduced ApoE recycling trap the insulin receptor in the endosomes away from the cell surface. This reduction in insulin receptor surface expression causes reduced utilization of glucose to generate ATP and promotes fatty acid oxidation. Neuronal cell lines expressing ApoE2 have more hexokinase, a critical enzyme of glycolysis which yields a more efficient production of energy from glucose. Neuronal cell lines expressing ApoE4, on the other hand, have lower hexokinase activity. Also, human ApoE2 expressing immortalized astrocytes have 2.5 greater fold increased glucose uptake and utilization, while ApoE4 astrocytes have half the glucose uptake capacity of ApoE3. Reduced recycling of ApoE4 also affects cellular cholesterol metabolism. ApoE4 traps ATP binding cassette 1, otherwise known as ABCA1, in the endosomes away from the cell surface. Reduced ABCA1 activity results in lower cholesterol efflux to HDL and redistributes cholesterol to the cell surface. In macrophages, greater membrane cholesterol associated with increased toll-like receptor signaling, which in turn increases inflammation via NF-kappa-B and in other inflammatory gene responses. A greater distribution of cholesterol in the neuronal plasma membrane promotes BACE1 expression and APP processing to produce more amyloid AB peptide. In microglia and astrocytes, less cholesterol efflux reduces amyloid beta degradation. End quote. Now that's a mouthful again. That comes from Yassine, Frontiers of Aging and Neuroscience in 2020. But basically what that is saying is that there's a differential between the isoforms having the ability to break down glucose at the neuronal cell surface and also the affinity for the uptake of the glucose in general. So metabolically, ApoE2 folks and ApoE3 folks have better neuronal glucose uptake and utilization than ApoE4 folks. And then secondarily, this other problem of this reduced ABCA1 activity changes the cholesterol efflux and is associated with more innate immune signaling, which causes more inflammation. So on balance, now in modern society, the APOE4 genotype is less beneficial. Nutrition appears to be heavily involved in the outcomes of modern APOE4 carriers. As APOE is expressed on fat cells throughout the body, it would follow that whatever drives up adiposity will have a major role in APOE4 biology. Here we fall back again on flour, sugar, trans, and high-volume animal fats as root causes of dysfunction in modernity. You can think of it as a replete diet from a caloric perspective, but the brain will be starved of glucose sugar due to the APOE4 biology causing intracerebral insulin resistance. This is such a paradox of human biology of modernity. How overweight individuals with peripheral insulin resistance will have peripheral cellular starvation, while the APOE4 carrier can have this reality occurring in the brain at the overweight or normal weight state. One complete antagonist to this reality on both ends of the spectrum is exercise. Exercise is the ultimate fighter of this APOE4 carrier biology. This is some incredible science emerging whereby the innate immunology of the APOE4 carrier has enhanced infection-fighting skills peripherally and in the brain, but at the cost of the ability to prevent neurodegeneration with age and modernity. Researchers have demonstrated that APOE4 can trap ABCA1 endosomes, causing lower cholesterol transport and an increase in intracellular and plasma membrane cholesterol content, which affects amyloid processing and increases inflammasome activation. Inflammasome activation and toll-like receptor signaling are enhanced, which is amazing for the ability to survive infection, but they are not great now. The reduced recycling of ABCA1, as discussed, neuronal insulin resistance, and other mechanisms to be discovered help us understand the accelerated brain aging phenotype observed over the past 50 years. APOE4 carriers are known to preferentially oxidize fatty acids for neuronal fuel in the brain due to mild insulin resistance, as stated already. The work of Dale Bredesen at the Buck Institute has noted an improvement in cognition in study in individuals with neurodegenerative issues. Thus, the type and volume of fat is going to be future study locale. This is just my first deep look at APOE4 biology and the positive and negative aspects of it in context of modernity. Much more to come in the coming years. At this point, I think that it is safe to say that refined sugar and flour are net negatives for neurodegeneration, for APOE4 carriers especially, but for all of us in general. Poor quality fats from corn-fed cows, pigs, and other CAFU animals are net negative based on inflammatory risk. Whew! Round one of the APOE biology story in the books. That's a tricky, tricky story, but it is important to know because you have to make changes if you don't want to end up heading down that pathway. Okay, section two, blood sugar response. So the continuation of my CGM story that is very clear now is that refined pastas, for me personally, potatoes in volume and other starchy-based foods do spike blood sugars for me. Usually occurs over 1 to 2 hours, followed by a rapid drop in blood sugar, even in the context of exercise and generally healthy diet. This means that insulin is being produced in volume to allow this to happen. The real issue here is that even if the blood sugar returns quickly into the normal range, the excess insulin is driving disease over time. There is a lot to be gleaned over the coming years. Suffice it to say that I learned that my body prefers me to eat vegetables and fruits first, then protein, and last the starch polymers like the pasta and the potatoes in moderate volume. Sugar beverages are a state blood sugar nightmare. Just avoid them. Eating the starch first before the fiber-based foods massively changes the glucose area under the curve by raising the amplitude and widening it, both effects of which are not healthy over the long haul. I highly encourage you to get a CGM and experiment yourself. Okay, recipe of the week is Recipe of the week is fish tacos by Pinch of Yum. Good stuff here. Give it a whirl. Song of the week is Go Get Your Gun by the Deer Hunter. Good drum song. All right, all. That's it. I'm just going to end this week with the free thoughts. The picture in the newsletter this week is a picture of our little rescue dog, Mr. Charlie. He was curious, looking at me. And it's been a continual journey watching him connect in a safe and peaceful way after the stain of his trauma has faded, albeit not completely gone. Consistent contact without trauma has allowed Curious Charlie to spread his paws and re-enter the happy days of being a puppy in every sense of the word. His sister, who was also abandoned, is two houses away. It's beautiful to watch them re-encounter each other and frolic like siblings should. There are so many parallels to how we should be helping traumatized children recover. Consistent contact over time without further trauma is the key. This is one reason that I think the foster systems can struggle to succeed if a child is moved around from foster family to foster family. The intermittent broken contact is reinforcing the trauma of not being loved by your primary caregivers, and that is never good. As always, hug those kids. The information provided in this audiocast and newsletter is for educational and informational purposes only, not a substitute for advice and or treatment provided by your physician or other healthcare professional, and is not to be used to diagnose or treat a health issue. This audiocast and newsletter does not constitute the development of a provider-patient relationship. Have a great day.